Lisa Kelly is kindly with us for a kōrero today, chairing our Māia, the Māori Midwives Association. And she's talking with us about a landmark High Court win for the College of Midwives, class action, an outcome that recognises long-standing inequities in midwifery funding and signals a critical shift toward fairer conditions, with significant implications for the sustainability and mana of Māori midwives and kaupapa Māori birthing practices. It's a pleasure to welcome you again, Lisa, to the program. Thank you for your time at Te Tuhine. Tēnā koe, Lisa.
Morena, tēnā koe.
Kia ora. When did this occur, and what did the High Court victory mean to you personally and professionally, and what were the key issues at the heart of the case, Lisa?
The decision occurred, we heard the news some months ago, but we've actually been fighting for this for quite a number of years, in and out of court with the government. And the decision personally means that I'll receive the pay that I deserve, that for all the work and all the mahi that we do is really has gone unrecognised, and finally we be able to receive what's fair and just, what's equitable and what's equal to other people that do similar work. In terms of other healthcare professionals, in particular men. So this case wasn't just about equal pay, it was about equality for women's rights. And so that's really important. And it's quite groundbreaking, actually.
Well, it took, no doubt, some sharp minds to get it across the line. I'm just referencing as well this issue with Van Velden and pay equity historically, and how detrimental that's been to the state of play for kaimahi right across the board, but particularly for women. So it is encouraging that at least we've been able to get this one across the line. How do you see the ruling changing the landscape for community midwives, Lisa, particularly in terms of pay equity, workload, and indeed recognition?
Well, it's about sustainability of the profession. So if you can pay your work as well, you'll attract them to the profession. And we've had a huge drop-off in midwives over the last 5 to 7 years. And in my area alone, we only have 2 independent midwives. And when I started here, there was about 7 of us just in the Opotiki area. And in Whakatāne, they only have 3 independent midwives when there used to be 20. So, we've lost a huge amount of our workforce, and this is about keeping the profession alive and sustainability, looking after our midwives and actually, providing that manaakitanga that they need as well, not just through equal pay, but if you can pay them well, I mean, that's a good start. But get them into the profession, look after them through their education system and when they first come out. What was happening was a lot of midwives would finish their degree and come out into the workforce, and then they would only last for 1 to 2 years because they would just completely burn out. So this is something that we need to look into, and how do we manaaki our midwives and look after them, so they can stay in the profession and provide the care that our whānau deserve.
Yeah, tēnā koe. Curious to know too, how many midwives are there in the country, Lisa, and how many of them would be Māori?
So we just have under 4,000 midwives in the country, and about 10% of those are Māori midwives.
Yeah. So are there any specific implications of this outcome for Māori midwives and the protection and revitalisation of kaupapa Māori birthing practices, many of our people opting to have their pepi at home? What specific implications does this judgment have on Māori midwives, Lisa?
Well, a lot of our whānau live rural, and like you say, are birthing at home, so we need skilled, highly skilled profession. And for our practices, it's going to help with that resurgence that we've been protecting for quite some time now and revitalising our practices. So we'll be able to, train our midwives in a way that's culturally appropriate as well. Not just Māori midwives, but all midwives, train them in that culturally appropriate way so they can give whānau safe, competent care. We have it's not just about the pay, it's about educating as well, where there has been a real lack in support for midwives, for Māori midwives, because they just found it very difficult coming through the training and having no support, having to travel away from their homes to go and get the education into the cities, and it's very difficult for them to stay in the training. So this will all be a part of it as well. Getting fairer pay, we'll be able to support other midwives coming through. So there's quite a lot, there's a whole lot of factors.
Tēnā koe.
I think for me, our tupuna practices here are thriving here in my district, but I'm sticking at it. So I've managed to stay in this mahi and not give up, but there's not many that have been able to do that. So,
Tēnā koe. There was some, and rising fuel costs. Do midwives soak them up yourselves? You say that so many work in rural settings, certainly in Te Ao Māori, and a lot of our pēpi are back in the haukainga and being birthed. What's the situation with travel for midwives? Have you been given any extra support with rising costs, Lisa?
They adjusted the system a little bit to support with that rurality and the extra petrol costs, but there was nothing really that made an impact. We've had to adjust the way in which we meet with whānau. So perhaps, like I would normally do a lot of home visits, and having to change those really personalised home visits and getting the whānau to come to me, which has been very difficult because they actually don't have the petrol and can't come to me. So it's just a balance of trying to get everyone together on the same day, so I'm not having to do many trips because I travel. There's a lot of kilometres that I travel, especially for rural midwives, doing, up to 1,000 kilometres a week in my peak times.
Tēnā koe, had an interesting and somewhat celebratory kōrero today with Josephine Davis, who after 4 decades nursing has now been appointed as the head of the School of Nursing at Waipapa Taumatarau, Auckland University. And I raise that because you might be kind enough, Lisa, to tell us about the stepping stones to becoming a qualified midwife. Does it start with nursing practice or and then into that speciality? Is that encouraging at all to see for the first time a wahine Māori as the head of the nursing school at Auckland Uni?
Oh, it's awesome. It's very encouraging. To be a midwife, though, you don't have to become a nurse practitioner prior. New Zealand has a direct entry program, so it's 4 years now. It used to be 3 years. We've extended it to 4 years in the last 3 years, I think. 4-year degree program, and it's only available in the main kind of centres around Aotearoa. But the issue was it wasn't serving our people in terms of Māori education and, looking after them properly. So we're developing our own Māori midwifery degree, and that's happening here at Awanui Aorangi. So hoping to start that up very soon. So it'll be a degree for all people, but with a kaupapa Māori worldview through a Te Ao Māori lens, where you can learn about our tupuna practices and be the best midwife you could be.
Is that a first?
A Māori... It will be a first.
Well, that's encouraging in itself. How far away might that be, do you think, Lisa?
All depends on the accreditation. So like you say, it is a first. We're developing the curriculum, and it takes a lot of internal processes that it has to go through with the Midwifery Council and become accredited. So that's the part that we're in at the moment, and we'll see how they take it. and how it comes back. We might need to change something, but we're not willing to compromise on the kaupapa, and we'll keep going until it's right and we get it across the line. So we are hoping next year, but we can't say at this point.
Tēnā koe, thanks, Lisa. Well, whilst this situation is encouraging with the finding in favour of midwives, looking ahead, Lisa, what further changes do you think are needed to ensure that the maternity system truly upholds te tiriti and supports a sustainable, culturally grounded midwifery workforce?
It's that partnership again, constantly challenging kāwanatanga, but the education is key. Education is key in ensuring that the midwives that are being taught are culturally grounded, and once they come out into their degree, that they continue on with that learning. And ways that we're doing that is through cultural frameworks such as Tūranga Kaupapa, which is developed by Ngā Maia, which is a mandatory cultural competency training framework that all midwives, all 4,000 midwives in Aotearoa, have to undertake this training if they want a practicing certificate. So that was something that was implemented in the last 2 years by Ngā Maia. Yeah.
Wonderful to catch up with you again, Lisa. Thanks very much for being
there. I just woke up. I just delivered a baby.
So. Oh, did you? Whereabouts are you?
I'm in bed in the Portugal, and the baby was born in town, yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, well, hey, we celebrate that too. A Māori baby, I'm hoping.
Māori.
Yeah.
Aye.
Little peppy Māori. Beautiful.
At home.
Good on you, Lisa. That's so cool. Very nice to talk with you. Thanks.
Thank you, Dale.
Thanks so much. Kia ora. We had, I might have told you before, had one of ours at home, our middle son or middle child that was in Sydney. And, yeah, it's a pretty amazing experience considering the first was, well, actually it was at almost like a motel unit, actually, at Crown Street Women's Hospital, which closed soon after. Our kōtira was born in 81. Apanui came along in 83 and we had him at home. And then our young fella, because we moved back to New Zealand, our young fella was born in the Morrinsville Maternity Home back in 1988. And that closed soon after as well. So sort of different experience as a dad, you know, being in that hospital setting and being at home is pretty gentle and pretty bloody cool, actually, when I think back on it, having Apanui at home.